Hey there, everybody, welcome back. Wow, amazing. So grateful to have all of you here today. Grateful to be here today. Wherever you're listening, don't forget to like, subscribe, rate the show, share, all that fun stuff. And today we are wrapping up the week of Yesod. What a great week it's been to review. Right, obviously, Yesod, we focus a lot on our purpose. Focus a lot on our purpose, having a purpose, being grounded, having gravitational pull, how all of the Sefirot are expressed and integrated, so to speak, and are channeled through Yesod into Malchus, and having this gravitational personality as well, having something that is attraction rather than promotion. And having this inner attractiveness that people gravitate to. And we, throughout the course, right, starting on day 36, Chesed Shel Yesod, talking about forgiving ourselves to reach our purpose, right, when we feel like we hadn't been in our purpose, giving ourselves the ability to forgive ourselves for that and to feel a bigger connection to our purpose. Right, Gevurah Shel Yesod on day 37, we talked about having barriers, finding our purpose, resisting cutting off too early, meaning sometimes we don't see our purpose to the end, or we quit too early before we reach our purpose. So being able to give our purpose the proper incubation period and time and effort necessary to grow. Day 38, we talked about Tiferet Shel Yesod, where we talked about vulnerability and how important vulnerability is to this integration and stability, groundedness, where a lot of times people put up fronts and they're not willing to be their real selves. And Tiferet and Yesod are in alignment in the middle there in terms of the Tree of Life of the Sefirot. So it gives us the ability to really have a balanced, harmonious, stable life where our feet are planted on the ground, our roots are in the ground, and we can allow those branches and leaves to sway in whatever direction they need to be in accordance with the wind that happens. Netzach, corresponding to getting back up after our purpose. Maybe we did pull out from our purpose too early and we hadn't yet gone to the place, or maybe we had at some point but we had lost it. And what it means to get back up, to have resilience in our purpose. Day 40 was Hod Shel Yesod, meaning living our purpose with humility, whether we had needed to come back, how to come back humbly. And if we're living our purpose in the best way possible, it's amazing, but to live that humbly as well, and to block out the ego, which in and of itself eases God out. Then we talked about Yesod Shel Yesod, obviously being grounded in our purpose, feeling connected to our purpose, feeling stability in our purpose, and how this corresponds to our ability to create, and specifically our ability to create humans and generations through birth, which come from sexuality, and how important our relationship with sexuality, what an impact that has on ourselves and others. And that brings us to today, which is a day 42, which is a transitional day, because we're finishing up Yesod and entering into the week of Malchus. And it's very fitting because we're now here at Yesod. It's Malchus Shel Yesod. So we're talking about both concepts. And today, as we're transitioning into Yesod, we explore new concepts in Malchus. And we had spoken before how Malchus corresponds to kingship, corresponds to ownership, corresponds to accountability, and having ownership that doesn't have a controlling factor, that just has a responsibility factor, has a factor that facilitates, and Yesod also has an ability to facilitate. So here we are on this kind of like double kind of facilitating. How can we have a kingdom? How can we be a king if we don't have a kingdom? Right? And how can we have a kingdom and be a king if we don't have the proper grounding to get us there? Because Yesod is the foundation. And as we see on the Tree of Life, once again, all of the other Sefirot funnel in and channel in through Yesod to Malchus, and Malchus is this world. We live in the world of Malchus, in the world of Asiya, which means that we live in the world of kingship, in the world of action, which is the fourth and lowest world, the world of Asiya, the world of action. And we live in this world that looks very physical. It is physical. Our experience is physical. But before it becomes physical, it emanates from higher worlds. As we said, this is the fourth world, which means that there's three other levels, and the highest one does not have the same kind of relationship with the world or with physicality as we do. In this world where we have molecules and atoms and gas and liquid and solid lattices. And so it can seem like I'm at a table, and I am at a table, but really it's Hashem's words that are coming down and emanating through many different sefirot, meaning refractions, that the light that descends from the Ein Sof, from this highest level that is beyond comprehension, goes through these different prisms of refraction, each one being one of the sefirot, the higher sefirot, Chochmah Bina Das, or Chochmah Bina Keter, and then down into the lower sefirot with Chesed Gevura, Tiferet, Hod, Netzach, Yesod, and Malchus. And this does it four times over until we get here to this bottom place where we are, where we're talking about right now, with this Yesod that's dripping down or building up, so to speak, bringing in all of the levels and the light that's been refracted on all these different levels, four worlds over, 10 times each. And so we wonder, what is the practical level of this? What do you mean? So if we live in the world of action, world of Asiya, and we live in this world of Malchus, which is this coarse world, coarse, seemingly dark, treacherous world, where things are not what they seem, where things are literally upside down. And if you can see from the Tree of Life once again, Malchus is at the bottom, but we're here in this world that seems upside down, that is in this world of physicality, and we've gone through so many levels of emanation, so many refractions from this light, the Ein Sof, that is way too strong and way too big to be able to, in any single way, comprehend. What are we doing here in this world, and how do we get here, and what do we make out of this? So, Rav Benji talks about in Dance of the Omer that aside from Malchus corresponding to not own anything, and Yesod corresponding to being a giver, and being in this world being a giver, and being seeing as how we are refracting and bringing into existence all of these different sefirot and funneling every single in through this yesod of the world of Asiya. Stick with me here if this is too esoteric. How do we bring it all down? Hashem created humans to be speaking beings. Adam HaRishon in the Garden of Eden was a speaking being. He owned and controlled, so to speak. He was the king of this land that Hashem had created. And what was the task that Hashem gave to him? Was to name all the animals. He gave it him a speaking task to use his mouth, to use his words to create. And this was his power. And this is how he brought things into being. So now we've been working on our purpose for the last week, honing in on our purpose, bringing in our purpose, coming back to our purpose, being stable in our purpose, where do we go from here? Now that we have a purpose and know what we do with our purpose, we have to create with our purpose. And how do we create? We create by saying prayer, by praying. Rabbi Nachman talks about that this is the ultimate expression of free will. Right? If we live in the world of Asiya, wouldn't it be that our main task is to do? It is true that our main task is to do. But how do we know what we're going to do, or how do we end up doing what we actually want to do? The fact of the matter is that most people don't actually do what they want to do, or what they meant to do, or what the do is in accordance with their purpose. Because most people have subconscious motivations, or they have subconscious motivations that they're not even aware of. How many of us were passed down behaviors from generations before us? And maybe we were from generations before us. Maybe I was the great-grandfather, the grandfather, the grandmother, great-grandmother, who knows what, in what way my previous lives were expressed. But we're passed down certain behaviors, certain traditions. And many a time we don't think about those traditions or those actions, and we continue to do them. And many a time it's good, and sometimes it's not so good. And we hear so many times about generational cycles, and me having a young son and the hope of having many children as my wife and Hashem willing to bless us with, that I don't want to continue generational patterns, generational cycles that are not healthy, which means that I have to work in those and break cycles. And how many behaviors are influenced by society? How many behaviors are influenced by what I'm expected, or what I expect, or what I think is expected of me by others, by society? So those influence my behavior. And how many behaviors do I have that were wired within me from a young age? Maybe I myself came in with a certain personality type, or I decided to make a certain decision or a certain action at some point in my life. And at that time, it was a good decision to make. And now it wouldn't be such a good decision to make, or maybe in different situations, not such a good decision to make, but I maintain that behavior because I don't know any better. Or because now those neurotransmitters have wired together and they fire together. So when I get a certain stimuli, I react a certain way. These are the factors that we often are not taking into consideration when we talk about actions and we talk about free will. The fact of the matter is we don't have free will very often. We don't express our free will very often. We often only express our free will only a number of times in our life, a handful of times in our life. And in those crucial crossroads, those crucial moments, I'm faced with an actual decision and I have 50-50 chance of doing one way or the other. I'm not actually being influenced by one thing or another. It's in those times where we decide to serve Hashem, or we don't decide to serve Hashem, where we deserve to go away, to serve idols, to be an atheist, to think of life in more materialistic ways that can set the course of our future actions. Because if I decide in those crucial moments that I want to serve Hashem, now we can start working somewhere. And now I can have a 51% chance, and a 52% chance, and a 53% chance. And the more that I work on myself, the more of Hashem's will I'll be able to do what Hashem wants of me. As we talked about yesterday with the Yesod Sheb Yesod, of being that tzaddik. So how do we get there? It's through prayer. When we pray, we're expressing our true free will. When we pray, we're actually expressing what it is we actually want to do, not what it is that we're trained to do or what we think we should do. And when we pray, it has an effect on creation like nothing else. That even scientific studies have shown, in double-blind studies, that people who are prayed by other people, meaning people who, others who they don't know are praying for them, and they don't know that others are praying for them, they heal, they recover, better, faster than those who did not have prayer associated with them, meaning that they have the same conditions, the same chances, the same medicine they're already taking, and the variable factor is prayer. And prayer has a big effect on this. And prayer is something physical, because sometimes people think that prayer is something that's done in your head or in your heart. You think prayer. This is not prayer. Prayer is something that's expressed with your lips, with your mouth, with your tongue. It creates a vibration and it emanates through the universe. It has a sound wave that picks up speed, that has an effect on creation. It changes creation as a whole. And there's many types of prayer as brought by the sages and as mentioned by Rav Benji in Dance of the Omer. And each prayer has a different time and a place. Rav Shlomo Aruch in his book, In Forest Fields, talks about different kinds of prayer. He talks about the prayer of the pauper, the prayer of the poor person, that this was the prayer of David HaMelech who corresponded to Malchus. And he would come and ask for things as a free gift, not because he deserved anything. We have a song that we sing, says, "Thank you, Hashem, for every little thing, because you know I don't deserve a thing." And other people, they hear the song and they almost get offended. How can you say you don't deserve anything? How can you say you don't deserve anything? Of course you deserve anything. Of course you deserve everything. And one aspect of that is true. But when bad things happen to us, do we also say we deserve it? I deserved everything bad that happened to me. The same people would say, no, I don't deserve it. So either we deserve everything or we deserve nothing. Either we deserve all the good things that happened to us and we deserve all the bad things that happened to us, or we don't deserve all the good things that happened to us and we don't deserve all the bad things that happened to us. So on one end, it's true that we do deserve it because we do get things as rewards and we are good people and Hashem does want to bless us. But the best way to receive is by asking Hashem for a good gift, which doesn't take out of what we deserve. We're not going into the bank to pull out money, to pull out spiritual coin. We're asking Hashem, not even for a loan. We're not saying, Hashem, please give me this on loan and I'll pay you back. Please give me this now so then later on I'll do all the deeds, I'll do the mitzvahs, and I'll do the prayer that's going to warrant to be given that. We're asking Hashem to reach into His storehouse of mercy to give us what we need, what we're asking for, out of His mercy. Not because we deserve it, but because we're asking for it, and because He's God and there's nowhere else to go. There's also an ask for prayer that corresponds to tears, but it says that the gates of heaven are opened by tears. So people sometimes think that they have to cry in order to pray properly. And yes, it's true that crying when you're in Dvekas, when you're connected with Hashem, is very, very powerful. That when you're in this such a state of Dvekas, that you have really Yirat Shamayim, that you have real awe of Hashem, that you realize what a little thing I am in this expression of reality, and what a big thing Hashem is in the grand scheme of things, can make us shake in our boots. And when we feel real dvekas, when we feel a real connection, we really yearn and wish that we could have this state of mind, state of emotion going on forever. And we realize that it's not possible. And whether or not we realize that we're crying because we just yearn for it so bad, or we just feel so good right now in this dvekas that we're crying. But complaining, if we're crying because we're complaining and we're saying, Hashem, how can you do this to me? Hashem, I can't believe this can drum up judgments. Where Hashem then is looking into our deeds and saying, wait, does he deserve it? Is maybe I am being too strict with him? And whenever we get the book open on us, it's usually not going to fall in our favor. Because Hashem is being so merciful. He's letting us get with so much. We don't want him to judge us with strictness and with judgment and saying, well, we deserve this and that. and you haven't paid me this yet, and you haven't paid me that yet, and why are you doing this to me and doing that to me? But there is an aspect of that that is valuable when we're willing to stand up to Hashem in a positive way, not saying, hey, Hashem, I demand that you give me this, but saying, Hashem, where else is there to turn? I've been playing it nice my whole life, and it hasn't worked out for me. I've been letting life happen to me, and it's time for me to happen to life. You want me to be the best me I can be. You want me to live my purpose. So help me to live my purpose because it's what you want. And this is another form of prayer that is powerful, that does invoke crying without complaining. And yes, there's another form as well. And anybody who's spent any time with me, hopefully maybe has heard this concept about gratitude that I learned from Rav Shalom Arush that has been the main catalyst of my life in my Devekus when I'm feeling that, feeling gratitude. Gratitude for all the things that I have. Gratitude for all the things that I don't yet have. Because I don't have them now because it's good for me not to have them now. And thank you for all the things that appear to be very good. And thank you for all the things that don't appear to be very good, because this is also for the good. But if this wouldn't have happened, who knows what would have happened? And you're God, you know what it is. And everything that emanates from Hashem, as we mentioned, comes from the Ein Sof, all the way up in the highest level, and everything from up there is good. It only comes down into this world as expressed in the world of Mavus of Asiya in ways that appear to be negative because of all the different emanations and all the different refractions that happen along the way that we hadn't built the right vessels. And how do you build vessels? Through prayer. So the reason why they come down and they appear to be negative and they feel bad to us as humans who only have a limited amount of time on this earth is because we haven't built the vessels. We haven't opened up our mouth to say prayer and to have the proper vessels. And the best thing is to be thankful on all the things. And the best thing is not to ask Hashem for what we want, but to thank Hashem for what we want, to thank Hashem for the future, to know that Hashem wants to give us all the things and say, thank you, Hashem. Now, whatever I'm dealing with right now that doesn't feel pleasant, thank you that it's good, and thank you, Hashem, that it's temporary, that this too shall pass. And the things that I'm looking for and yearning for, I'm going to have that as well. And this thing will not be a part of my life anymore. That it may take two steps forward and one step back. It may take many iterations of that. But in the end, I'm going to keep praying for it. And I'm going to keep thanking you for it. And in the end, we're going to see it happen. Thank you, Hashem, for that. Thank you, God, for that. And we're seeing that happen over and over and over again. And we're seeing how that is creating miracles upon miracles upon miracles. And this is how we affect the world. And Malchus means that it's not just me that I'm looking out for, on the opposite, right? Yesod means that I'm second in command. Yesod means that Hashem's in control. And even Paro could be in control, like in this case of Yosef HaTzadik. That wherever the king is in control. And even when I'm the Malchus, even when I am the king, that David HaMelech did not own anything of his own. Everything that he had, that he was allowed to use, was actually the possession of the people. And so we had to be a conduit for the people. So even when we're praying, of course we have to pray for what we have and what we need. And to thank Hashem for the things that we need and that for thank Him that it's going to happen. But we also have to pray for other people. When we see other people suffering, we have to pray for those people. And our purpose is to do that. And if you see that somebody needs the same things that you need, that you identify in them, that they also lacking in the things that you're lacking, pray for that person to have it. Beg Hashem for them to have it. We cannot demand from Hashem that He gives us what we need, but we can demand for the people. For other people, we're not saying, don't you know this is good, it's good for you. For ourselves, we're saying, this is good, don't you know it's good for me. But for other people, we're saying, I'm here for you, I'm going to do whatever I can do in my power to make sure that you have what you need. And one of those ways is prayer. And we're demanding of Hashem to come to that person. And guess what? When we demand, when we're helping other people, Hashem is helping us first. Because we're the hose. We're the conduit. And the blessing goes through the hose before it reaches it, the other person. The water reaches the hose and goes through the hose before it reaches the ground. The tree. So we need to have a purpose. Our purpose is to live the best life in this world. The purpose is to be connected to Hashem Yitbarach, to be connected to our purpose, to be connected to our highest selves, to be connected to that which we came here to fix and to do. and to hold steady and steadfast in this. And we bring it about by praying extensively. And since we live in the world of Asiya, we have to do as well. But we pray first and then we do. We don't stop doing, we don't stop trying, we do hishtadlus over and over and over and over and over again. We have to do our part. But a person who prays and doesn't do is a fool. And a person who does and doesn't pray is a fool. We have to combine the two. And there are instances of people who pray a lot and do less, and they get more than people who do a lot and pray less. So Hashem should bless us to really be connected to our purpose, to really be grounded in our purpose, to be gravitational, and that we can be a gravitating personality by sharing with other people, as in Malchus, and by praying for the people, that people are gravitated to those. And the people that we feel upset about, the people that we're upset at, we don't just pray for the people that we like, that are lacking what we lack. We're also praying, if we see that there's somebody that keeps popping up in my head, and it's nagging, and I don't want to talk to this person, I don't want to see this person, we have to pray for that person. To pray for that person, that Hashem is bringing that person to us, to help elevate that person. For a reason, for a purpose. And so in this way, we're going to see that the more that we pray for others, the more that we pray for those that are lacking what we lack, and the more that we pray for those who bring up negative feelings in ourselves, and the more that we pray to Hashem and thank Hashem for our issues and for our things, that this too shall pass, for our present and perfect harmony, and pray for our future. And thank you, thanking Hashem for our future, that we know it's going to be perfect exactly as we want it to be, and we can be as specific as we want it to be. That by coming to Hashem, asking for a free gift, as opposed to demanding that He give us what we need, what we want, we're going to see the true and utter complete transformation, that all of the light of the Ein Sof will be here, revealed in this world. And we're going to see how all of the things that we thought were negative were actually positive. That all the things we thought were bad were actually for the good. We're going to have all the hostages returned. And all the lost tribes will be reunited. And all the peoples of the world will be united in their own purpose. And every single person has a role. And every single nation has a role. In this prototypical body, that is the Zer Anpin. That is this emanation of man, of person, that has all the same things that we have, that we're going to see all the best in the world, the coming Moshiach, with everybody in their role, and everybody in the right place, rebuilding the third temple, Chaim, on to Malchus, tomorrow.